We've all seen the incredible horse and rider combinations as the backbone of our sport. But what about everything else that makes the equestrian world tick? From the everyday grind to the world-class professional, join the Equestrian Podcast as we talk about every equestrian discipline in a way that hasn't been done before. Now here's your host, rider, trainer, and influencer behind My Equestrian Style, Bethany Lee.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Lee, and this is episode 404. Our guest today is the Director of Education at USHJA, the United States Hunter Jumper Association, and she's had this position since summer of 2019. She grew up in the Midwest and after school continued to have the horse bug. She is still a rider to this day. She's a competitor in the Hunters, and she also has her small R judges card. She lives full-time in Lexington, Kentucky, and she is really, really a big part of USHJA because education is such a big part of USHJA, and I feel like something that doesn't often get talked about. There are so many amazing opportunities with USHJA for riders looking to do a multitude of things. Today, specifically, I wanted to talk about the newer Instructor Credential Program, which is a series of online lessons as well as in-person opportunities for horse trainers to get a credential program, a specific certification, to have more accreditation and more knowledge towards their career as a trainer. So without further ado, please welcome our guest today, Lauren Clem. Hi, Lauren.
Bethany, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Yeah, well, as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. I am so excited to hear a little bit about, you know, the dynamic that you have over at USHJA. But first, tell me a little bit about you. How did you first get started in the horse world?
Sure. And also, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on the Equestrian Podcast. I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and I'm one of four in a non-horse family. And ever since I could remember or could talk, I was horse crazy, you know, and my parents were probably really wondering what happened, why one of their middle daughters always wanted, you know, to ride a pony, pet a pony. And that's how I started. I eventually broke my parents down, and they started me in some riding lessons. And horses have been a part of my life ever since. I'm currently the Director of Education Programs at the United States Hunter Jumper Association. And I also currently ride and compete in the Hunters as an amateur.
So cool. And being the Director of Education, I mean, did you always envision a career of some sort in horses? Or what did that look like as you were growing up and figuring out, you know, education and career after that?
You know, growing up, I never was quite sure what I wanted to do. I just always know that horses needed to be a part of my life. And I feel just so lucky that personally and professionally, they're still, you know, a huge part of my life. So to answer your question, I didn't know what it was going to look like. But I'm so grateful and so happy that it has turned out the way it has.
So awesome. Yeah. And I feel like it's just an added layer for you to really like appreciate your role even more that there, you know, are horses. You could be a director of education in lots of different areas, but the fact that it's horse related, I think just makes it so much more enjoyable, I'm sure.
Yes, 100%. And it's really fun too, being involved, you know, in the industry on different levels, you know, from grassroots to elite riding and everything in between, and not just competitive based, but also growth and development too.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your role, Director of Education. I know you're really kind of ensuring that members of the USHJA and the community as a whole have access to information that really helps them be better horse people in general. So share with me a little bit more information about what you are educating your members on.
Sure. So the USHJA offers education programs and different offerings for members and actually non-members of any category and level, right? Last night we had a webinar that was geared towards trainers on general bookkeeping tips. We also do a lot of general informational webinars, whether we're talking about trailer safety or things like that. We also manage the educational component for licensed officials, judges, course designers in the Hunter Jumper equitation for licensure maintenance or acquisition or promotion. There's again just a whole variety of programming. If we're talking about the Emerging Athletes Program, EAP, and Gold Star Clinics, which are athlete development. We also have a really great recognized riding academy for grassroots hunter jumper programs, the Horsemanship Quiz Challenge, which also has an adult section, just general informational videos and resources, and then also our newly relaunched instructor credential program, which is the second version of the trainer certification program, and it was different enough to necessitate a name change.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I think you touch on a very important part of our industry. And obviously, there's a lot of emphasis on our trainers. So, what do you feel like are some qualities riders need to consider when they are choosing a trainer for lessons or coaching? What characteristics should they look for? And are there any like red flags that you would advise in your opinion, both as an equestrian and as the director of education?
Sure, great question. First, when considering the trainer, and we use the word trainer, instructor, coach in interchangeably, and they have, a lot of nuanced differences, but I think it's easier just to stick with the word trainer. The rider needs to, I think, assess what their goals are and then also think about what kind of learner they are. Make sure the trainer is well suited to help achieve your goals. So, for example, maybe a short-term goal is to confidently and competently jump around the 2'6" in the hunters, and a mid to long range goal is to ribbon in a 2'6" non-pro derby or something like that. Make sure that the trainer that you're choosing is appropriate to help you achieve those goals. Choosing a trainer that focuses more on the jumpers and has multiple entries in the welcomes and frees might not be the right fit, although certainly they could be, right? In our culture and definitely in this sport, our focus is more on being the biggest, fanciest, most expensive, and this doesn't always align with what is best. Engage with in a conversation on with on your trainer's philosophy on both riding and training. Start the conversation just by saying, why are you a trainer? What do you value the most about the industry, the sport, the horses, and the horsemanship? And remember too, being a continuous learner is really what it means to be an equestrian, right? Does your trainer ride in clinics? Do they read books or articles? Do they connect instructions in their lesson or in the barn, to theory and safety? Do they collaborate with other professionals? Like, do they have a mentor, somebody that they ride with, or even just call on the phone and say, hey, I'm starting this young horse, and it reminds me of this other horse that you had, and how did you get them to go in the ring and relax? How did you get them to, jump a little bit more brilliantly? How did you kind of get through maybe kind of whatever plateau that they're reaching? So I guess when looking for red flags, the inverse, right? Oh, and then also just in general, communication is key, right? Trainers who aren't willing to communicate and who are withholding information or don't even give you the basic respect of conversating about your progress as a rider, your horse's care, the purchase process, what medications they might be giving your horse, or how they're preparing your horse for the ring. If they are resistant or don't communicate, that is 100% a red flag. And then if they also, in turn discourage any sort of education or empowerment or involvement in the care and training of your horse, that's also a red flag. And then just kind of, when you pull up to the barn, open your eyes, take a breath and notice things. Make sure that everything is done safely and correctly. The horses are in good weight and condition. They should be quiet and relaxed in their stall. They should be getting, ample turnout. Notice those types of things. I hope that answers your question and all the parts that you're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like aside from the hard skills of teaching the sport, what are some other maybe softer skills that make a great trainer? I feel like you alluded to some already, but what if you had to kind of make a little compile a little list, what would you say are some of those skills?
Sure. I think a softer skill for sure is empathy, and that's to both the rider and the horse, right? And patience for sure. But I think that those are two very related skills, right? Being empathetic with the horse and having a little bit of patience. We all know that riding is hard, right? And when somebody is struggling or a little bit nervous, people should make the assumption that somebody is trying and wants to be better, right? And so tailoring that communication with empathy and patience, I think, is really important.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. What would you say? Because I feel like something else important in instruction is balancing excellence while, creating a good and like inclusive learning environment for riders of all levels. So what tips do you have for really infusing this into a teaching philosophy? How can instructors really learn to be more inclusive?
Yeah, well, I think the first step is understanding different learning styles and having a broader toolbox of communication skills with that, right? Some people are very visual learners. Some people have to talk it all through. Some people are kinesthetic learners, and your instruction is going to need to focus more on feel, right? And there's a whole lesson in the instructor credential program about this too that talks about different types of learners. So if you have a huge set of tools that help communicate and get the messaging and instruction across the best to your riders, that's absolutely inclusive. One way also to foster inclusivity is just by demonstration, right? And being respectful and welcoming and encouraging to everybody that you encounter, and this is on the horses, in the lesson ring, around the barn, at the horse shows. You have to live it, on every line item.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that that's great advice. I feel like you have a really unique perspective given that you're also a judge. So, from a judge's perspective, can you tell which riders benefit from strong instruction when they're in the show ring? Or what are some things that kind of stand out to you as a judge?
Sure. So I do have my small R in hunters and hunter jumping seat equitation. I've had this licensure since 2017, and I love judging basically because I love horses and I love watching horses, and I can sit at
Yeah.
the horse show and all day and watch. And I do think that it does ultimately make me a better rider and a horse person as well. But insofar as what you see, you only really see a snapshot though, right? You see them walk in the in gate, execute their trip, and then leave, and you do see somebody standing at the in gate, and maybe it's more of a feeling than what you see and notice. If the rider and the horse are calm and confident, and if they have resiliency, right? Because you and I both know that things don't always go as planned in the show ring. And when they don't, can you tell that they have the tools? And this can be from, the cross rails, up to the high level equitation riders. If things don't go perfectly, do they have a plan, and do they have a skill set, in order to problem solve it? Do they need to circle? What happens if their pony broke? Do they have a plan? And how do they feel and look when they walk out of the ring, whether it was a trip of a lifetime or less than ideal? So maybe it's more of a feeling. Does that make
Yeah,
sense? But
definitely.
the horses always tell us something, right?
Definitely.
Too. So if you really watch and really notice, the horses will tell you.
Yeah, that's so true.
I wanted to take a quick break because I know Lauren and I have been talking a lot about USHJA and the instructor credential program, but I wanted to break it down in case you haven't seen anything about it before. The USHJA instructor credential was developed to really offer a comprehensive educational program for riding instructors. The credential offers both a comprehensive online education as well as an in-person workshop and examination. Online coursework includes expanded content in athletes' wellness and safety, sports psychology, stable management, riding theory, learning styles, and teaching methodologies that really preserve the American hunter-jumper forward riding system. Then at the workshop, candidates observe, learn, practice, and collaborate on teaching and coaching techniques and methods. So during the live examination, candidates are tested on their teaching skills and really provide individualized feedback. Upon successful completion of all prerequisite online courses, the workshop, and passing score during the live examination, candidates are awarded the status of USHJA credentialed instructor. You have to be 18 years or older and a USHJA membership in good standing above the outreach level. I think that it's such an amazing opportunity to really get some education behind us as trainers. To find out more information, go to ushja.org, and in the navigation tab above, you'll see one that says education. And if you click and hover on that, down below, you will see instructor credential for to get more information and figure out how to sign up. All right, let's get back to the episode. We're all aware, and I'm a professional myself, that for a training role or to be a professional in the industry, you can't just step right into a training job based on maybe your experience or maybe where you've ridden or what you've done before without any, you know, in quotes, like formal training. So you are challenging that by working to create specific standards for instructors or trainers. Why is that important to create standards for trainers?
Sure. If somebody pursues, and you're exactly right insofar as essentially anybody can be a trainer, right? Mm-hmm. Those requirements are almost non-existent.
Right.
So in creating a program and having people engage in this program voluntarily, is that communicates something, right? And again, education is really what it means to be an equestrian. You know, we're always trying to be better and do better by our horses and be better riders and be better horsemen on the ground. And so if somebody engages in the hunter jumper discipline, whether it's the USHJA instructor credential program, if we're also talking about the US Eventing Association's Eventing Coaches Program, PATH certification, if they're a therapeutic riding instructor, also the Dressage Federation's instructor/trainer development program. All these types of programs build and validate the professional skill set, you know, within their specialty. So what does that communicate? It communicates that they value a standard. They value education. They're committed to the horses, the students, and the discipline.
Yeah, I think that that's a really great point. I think that we've all had trainers who have had, you know, a specific impact. They know what they're doing. They've had all of the maybe working student or mentor or life experience. But then I think at the end of the day, just like any professional in any other industry, I feel like having a specific standard of skills and knowledge, especially knowledge, to be able to have that as the standard then going into being a professional. So whether or not you maybe have the life experience or, you know, whether you have, you know, trained as a junior at the top of the sport or have had the best, you know, assistant role with an Olympian, you know, that still doesn't always make you the best trainer. So I think, you know, I think what USHJA is doing such a great job in making so many strides towards having this, it really just kind of it kind of breaks down, and I don't want to say like levels the playing field, but I think it really helps identify the qualities that are needed to be a trainer in this position. I think as years have gone on, when you were a professional, that meant you were a rider, trainer, manager, you did all the bookkeeping. And I think more recently, those roles have been even more divided out. Whereas maybe a top rider isn't necessarily a top trainer and vice versa. So I think I think what you're doing with the trainer certification program is so great because it really does identify the traits and the knowledge needed to be a legitimate and successful trainer.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks. And we're always trying to, in the curriculum for the instructor credential program, really bring it back to and withholding the American Forward Riding System. And that's, a really huge component of how we ride and what we do and the why behind it. And so that's an important thing to really preserve and keep honing.
As far as the trainer certification program goes, what are maybe some misconceptions about obtaining a certification as a trainer?
Sure. I think the biggest misconception about pursuing the instructor credential program is I don't need it, right? Is it for a professional to say, oh, I don't need that? And it's a little bit short-sighted, right? Maybe that they have a full client roster. Maybe, they're having success in the ring and everything's going, well to pretty good or fine. And they don't really see the value in it, right? We've had people who have been professionals for decades go through the program and come away from the online learning with more and better skill sets or just an aha moment, right? And there's so much that you still can be gained to be even better and more effective at your job. And then after do completing all of that online learning, then they move into the live workshop. It's like a workshop on the first day and an examination on the second day. And there's so much roundtabling and collaboration that's a part of this that every trainer that's gone through this has found it invaluable, right? A lot of time, trainers, for the most part, they're on a little bit of islands on their own. Sure. A lot of places have maybe two or three professionals, within the one business, as you talked about, the really breaking down of all the different roles. But the industry as a whole lacks collaboration across trainers and farms. They tend to be suspicious of each other. Any sort of camaraderie is a little bit surface level. Interaction happens at the in gate, or during lease or sale transactions, but everybody's guard is always up. And if you pair this with other aspects that make the job really hard, like, I don't know, the hours, difficult customers, unrealistic expectations, general economics, it's no wonder that burnout and mental health are at a critical point, for trainers in this sport, right? So again, you asked what the biggest holdup in engaging in this program would be, and it's just that trainers don't think they need it, but they don't know how badly they do, right? Just some extra tools to make them better at their profession. And then, that camaraderie and collaboration, with their peers.
Tell me a little bit about the specifics of the program. I know you already kind of alluded to just the overall layout of it, but as you know, us trainers, we have little to no time off. How would you advise, or what does the time commitment kind of look like for the online portion of the training process?
Sure, great question. So the online learning is broken up into 10 lessons, and you can go at your own pace.
Okay,
We've
that's good.
seen, tr yeah, we've seen trainers, a couple of them over winter who don't go down to Florida. They cranked out all the online learning in about 2 days because there was a snowstorm and they couldn't ride and they couldn't teach. And there's some that have been working on it, kind of month over month here and there. But what's really great about it, these 10 lessons, you can work at your own pace and it's totally asynchronous, right? The topics are athlete wellness, which include nutrition, fitness, and sports psychology and mental skills coaching components. There's a business and marketing lesson, equine law and ethics, teaching and coaching, lesson program best practices, riding theory, stable management. There's a short concussion awareness lesson, as well as safe sport and coverage of USEF rules. So it's really comprehensive curriculum. And again, a person can do it at their own pace and in any order in which they like. If they're just really interested in riding theory, because it is kind of cool, right? You know, to nerd out on all those theory pieces, they can go ahead and jump in. You can do 20 minutes there, you can do 2 hours here, stuff like that. All you need is internet connection. You could even do it on a plane if you're traveling. So we tried to really make it accessible and acknowledge the time limitations that you brought up.
And then the in-person portion, is that offered in different locations? Is that in where USHJ is in Lexington, Kentucky? Tell me a little bit about that part.
Sure. So the live sessions are held across the country. One of my staff is actually just traveling back from a session in Virginia. And next month, we're having a session in Texas. There's
Cool.
going to be one in California later on this year. So, what's really nice too about this program and the way that it's set up, we can pull a report of individuals who are registered and track their progress through the program and then offer live sessions in a geography that is accessible for people, right? We can watch enrollment trends and plan the live sessions around that. And the live sessions are held on Mondays and Tuesdays, trying to make sure that the trainers have weekends if they're running a huge lesson program or they're taking customers to shows or something like that.
And you offer a lot on your website. What is the easiest way to get to the certification program?
Sure, you can go to ushja.org and just click on education, and it'll give you a whole overview listing of the programs and clinics and different resources that we have. And you'll easily be able to find, again, the instructor credential program there. And if you need even more help, you're always welcome to email us. Just most simply, education@ushja.org, and myself or one of my competent team members will get back to you and help you navigate the whole process.
Cool. Love it. What would you say is an area of the industry that you're passionate about that you feel like the rest of the horse world either just doesn't know a lot about or doesn't talk that much about?
Well, great question, Bethany. I'd like to answer it with two different hats. Earlier, you noted that I am a judge. I have my small R in hunters and equitation. And so from that hat, I would like to remind or tell everybody that judges want you to do a really good job and have a lot of fun. Judges are always rooting for you. They want to see you put down a trip of a lifetime and just enjoy your horse and have those kind of moments of excellence that we all strive for, right? They aren't hoping that you fall off your lead, or they don't want to see you knock down a jump or chip really bad or anything like that. They want to see you do a great job and have a great time. And that's true at every level, right? If we're talking about the crossrails all the way up to the big X.
I love that. I think that that's such a great reminder because it's so easy for us to get like negative and jaded when it comes to our sport, especially when it comes to the judging because kind of how it is scored and the fault of no one, but kind of at that perfect, almost unattainable 100, and then you basically are knocking down that from that 100 based on errors, and so it may kind of the format and the structure of it makes you, I think, sometimes to focus on those small or large errors that get you to your score, and so I think it's a great reminder in that regard, and also yeah, I think judges are just as, if not more, horse obsessed than you are, and there, than anyone listening. And so I think that's a great reminder that it's like these are also horse fanatics that would love nothing more than to witness an unbelievable round. So I think that's a great reminder.
100%. And speaking of being horse obsessed, now I'll, change my hats and talk a little bit about something that the industry needs more of, or what we don't focus on enough from my hat as, a rider, a competitor, a horse owner, a horse crazy kid now grown up. I'm showing next month and I'm really looking forward to it. I always love showing at the Kentucky Spring here in Lexington, and with that deadline coming up, it's easy to get really hyper focused on what I need to do, what in the ring, what I need to do in the ring. And we all need to take a step back. And this weekend, I look forward to getting on my mare. The weather looks great. I'm going to trot up and down the hills, trail ride her a lot, really spend a lot of time in the grooming stall with the curry comb because that's one of her favorite things. And just really take a step back, take a breath, and remind us of why we do this, right? And I think that that's really important. And then you're able to, have fun with it too.
Definitely. There's something to be said about this time of year. For a lot of us, it's a slightly quieter time. You're kind of just finishing, some winter showing, going into some summer showing. Usually there's sometimes a geographical change in location, and I think really taking this time to not continue to overload the schedule. Several of us who are maybe just coming off of a winter circuit in California or Florida or Ohio or Ocala. It's so easy in our world to just show week after week after week after week, and physically, you can't, you us and our horses can't do it. But I think, like, mentally and emotionally, it's good to really just take a step back and like you said, focus on why we even do this, and kind of like reignite that love and passion again by just going back to the core of why we do it, which is, the love for the horse.
100%. It's absolutely easy to do too much and to expect too much and to just get recentered and remember why we're doing this.
Definitely. I love that. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time. You are such a wealth of knowledge, and I think it's so wonderful, all of the educational opportunities you're providing over at USHJA. I think it is so important to have conversations around this, because I think it just helps really identify where our sport is, where we're headed, and things that all of us can be doing to continue to learn more, to make it safer and more enjoyable in general. So thank you for all you're doing, and I wish you all the best.
Well, thanks again so much for having me, Bethany. It was a real pleasure.
All right, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute and write a review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it. It helps people like you find the podcast, and it helps me get some killer guests. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.